I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention and managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the wars that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if Christianity actually teaches peace and not preventive wars of aggression? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing.
Nothing good.
And I yield back the balance.
Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Tom Lacovara Stewart, joined by the wonderful, my sister, Lori Anderson. God love her. She's been through ups and downs, folks. And I want to start this broadcast off so that people that hear the podcast on this especially know. If you go and want to support this network, you can go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com. I have a PayPal on that page, on that site. And if you would like, and I would ask folks out there, if you really don't mind, my sister here has been fighting back. She has been researching. She has been fighting back for years, putting forth articles, information, Freedom Outpost, in so many other places we've shared. If you go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com, you can either donate to the show or you can donate to my sis right here, Lori Anderson, who could very much use some support because she's trying to raise some money for herself. If you click on PayPal in the notes section of PayPal, write LORRI. I would appreciate it if you would send a donation to our Lori Anderson. She's worked very hard. She's asked for very little and she's received not a whole lot. So I would appreciate if you would do that. So anyway, That being said, I want to turn this over to Lori now. She has some content she wants to share with you that I wanted her to share. So just in case you didn't feel it was too biased coming from me, who was a little bit more directly involved. Go ahead, Lori.
Okay, so Congressman Greg Walden of the 2nd District in Oregon put out a press release on July the 1st, 2018, and he said that President Trump is seriously considering a Hammond pardon. It states, quote, Representative Greg Walden today released a statement following a phone call with President Trump regarding the pardon of Dwight and Stephen Hammond. Late Saturday afternoon, President Trump called me to say he is seriously considering pardoning Dwight and Stephen Hammond. The sentencing of Dwight and Steve Hammond to 5 years in federal prison is unjust. Period. Federal Judge Michael Hogan agreed when he used his discretion to apply more appropriate sentences, calling the mandatory minimum sentence for this case something that would shock the conscience. Multiple editorial boards across Oregon have concurred. Prosecutorial overzealousness by the federal government under the Obama administration ignored Judge Hogan's judicial discretion and doubled down, forcing them to serve a mandatory minimum sentence established for terrorists. President Trump can right this wrong. I again strongly urged the president to administer the justice that is long overdue for these Eastern Oregon ranchers by granting them a pardon so that they can get back to Harney County and their families, unquote. Thank you, Congressman Greg Walden, for that information.
Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Representative Walden. And I have to just say very briefly, thank you to the Bundys for bringing so many of our attention to the case of Dwight and Stephen Hammond and the plight that the Hammonds have been going through for so long. Thank you to all of the patriots that have stood and have helped each other selflessly. Thank you to the widow of Lavoy Finicum, Jeanette Finicum, who has absolutely been amazing in all of this. And she's become a force to be reckoned with herself. Thank you and rest in peace, Lavoy Finicum, for giving your life to something that you believed was worth giving your life for. And I'm gonna leave it at that.
Right. And I wanted to also say, everyone, call the White House and keep calling. Tell him to pardon the Hammonds. This is now even more so a push. Call the White House. Call Congress. Burn up those phones. Let them know we have not forgotten. We will not forget. And let's remember, this is about the Uranium One scandal. So when you're on the phone with the White House, feel free to connect those dots.
The real Russian scandal.
The real Russian scandal. And the real reason that they were charged under the terrorism statute. And you know, one of the things that really bothers me is not just Dwight and Stephen Hammond, but, you know, so many of our listeners, they already know this, but if this can happen to the Hammonds, it'll happen to anyone. And it has happened all across the United States of America.
It has, and it is. I mean, there are so many political prisoners right now. And folks, I have to take a second to also tell you to go to Year of Jubilee with one E, like in the Bible, in the King James Version, .com. Year of Jubilee with one E, .com, to Rudy and Aaron Davis's website, Lone Star 1776 on YouTube, for all of their advocation of all of these different political prisoners who are absolutely political prisoners. And I'm not talking about murderers and rapists, and I'm talking about political, patriot political prisoners who have taken a stand for what they believed in, as is their right, as their unalienable,
non-violently, by
their
the way,
unalienable pre-existing government, pre-existing the Constitution right to exercise certain freedoms that have been taken from them, either by trickery or by consent or by fraud or what have you. And there's a variety of implements that are used against these people to abolish their rights of inheritance and to take their property rights and graduated income tax of the 16th Amendment, unlawful show me the law amendment. I could go down that road for that's a whole nother, that's a week of shows we could go down that road. Gordon Call and Ed and Elaine Brown and so many political prisoners that are out there for doing nothing more than really truly wanting to stand for what they believed in, not harming anyone else. And we allowed the Constitution protected the Amish from government interference, because the Constitution is technically the chains that are supposed to restrain said government. So you had the Amish community that lived for, I mean, what, almost 150, 200 years, unaffected. Now you have Amish men going to prison for selling natural milk. And you have...
Or cutting off hair, too.
Yeah, and all of these other things, these natural tinctures that they make because they're not labeled with the certain federal... This is all central planning. This is communism. This is not how it has been. It's not how it was founded. It's not how it was established. Not how it was meant to be. And now it's being implemented. There's another farmer I reported a couple weeks back now that went up for appeal, and he was denied his appeal. Sheriff Mack stood up for him. I'll run that story in the next day or so on our show. By the way, folks, I am limited on my bandwidth still just at the moment. We do have that problem being fixed. But those of you out there that are listening, if you want to go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com and click on the chat room button, CFR is in there, and there's a few other people in there. I see messages popping up. So if you go to – it's the resurrectorepublic.chattango.com chat room. I'm not in it right now. I'm hoping very shortly our new equipment is going to arrive, and I'm going to be able to be actively in the chat room so that you can send questions or send links. And there are always wonderful links that are shared in there by the folks in there, and I always appreciate their contribution. So rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com, click on the chat room button as well. So anyway, let's get back to this, what we were talking about. So the Hammonds now are seemingly, very possibly going to be given, and what did I say? You know, I just issued, everybody heard it, on July 4th, I recorded it, I released it on July 5th, that, you know, I would support no president, no congressman, no senator, no anything until, as long as we have political prisoners sitting in jail for unjust, wrongful crimes that were tried upon them, and especially when you have judges that stand up for them and say it would be a shock to the conscience and I can't possibly give them the mandatory minimum, and then you have the government throw them back in jail after they already get out. So it's good to hear that Trump is considering that. I've heard that several times, but this is the most credible source that I've heard it from, so maybe it'll happen this time.
I truly hope so, and I truly hope that they will dig into that Uranium One situation and the overbearing unlawful activity of the Bureau of Land Management with what they were doing, the fencing.
You, also, me, Laz, Shauna Cox, and a lot of other people, too.
And let's remember that the whole reason for the fire in the first place, there were charges that were... or accusations, I should say, not charges, accusations about the whole reason that the Hammonds started the fire was to cover up for deer carcasses, which was found to be completely malarky.
And that's not how you covered up anyway.
Right, exactly. Now, let's burn down everything just so we can cover up a deer carcass.
And so that we can leave the bones sitting on the ground because they don't burn like the rest of the grassland does.
Thus, leaving
the evidence sitting in a clear field where you can find and see it. It makes no sense.
There was none. They didn't find any.
None.
And
none.
So I wanted to dispel that because some of the other news sources brought that out.
No, they just
lied
about it.
And that was never proven. They did not find the carcasses. And they started a backburn to save their home, their animals, their lives, and they actually saved lives by putting out that fire with that backburn. So let's remember, they didn't just set a fire to set a fire. And that is why when they were in that case, that they were found quote unquote guilty, if you will, because they admitted to starting the fire. The jury didn't understand that there's a huge difference between just starting a fire and starting a back burn to stop another fire that was headed right for their home.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, so that's sad. But they were not even tried, if I remember correctly, Tom, they were not even tried in the in their county, were they? They were taken to a different county, right?
They were taken, yeah, it was the feds. Yeah. And because the feds had already been muscling them
for many years.
So yeah. There was, you would think. Now, I was a firefighter for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that I've had more than my share of the arson investigator of our county coming down and finding that somebody lit a fire that went too far or did this or did that. Mm-hmm. And it would never really even become a state issue. It would usually remain in the municipal court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what changed the factor on this is that the fire that the federal government or the BLM alleged that the Hammonds were being charged with went on to what they quote unquote federal lands.
Yeah, that's
okay,
a dispute.
But then in determination of that, first of all, you're not talking about there was a building there with guards or there was an office. No. This was just land. There was no people there. There was no threat to anyone. And for all the obvious reasons, they were setting the fire. So you have all of these other factors. So first
and
of all,
don't forget, they proved that it improved the property. Don't forget
sure.
that.
But to terrorize someone, there has to be a someone.
Right.
And there was not a someone. So not only was there not a someone to be terrorized, but this was not, it wasn't an intentional offensive act, which most people connotate with terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a BLM building right there, and there's a whole lot of brush and trash in between where I'm standing and that building is. If I light the fire specifically to wipe the building out, especially when there are people in it, I can see that's an act of terrorism.
Oh, you mean like the BLM did on video with the cattle and the man's home and the houses that burned?
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, they did.
Because that's exactly what I was leading up to. I love you, sis.
Well, I mean, you know, it's on video and not one person has been held to account yet.
They burn up houses. The BLM has burned up houses. They burn up livestock. They burn up land. They burn up. So there's no equal distribution of culpability here. So you have essentially a noble class. You have a title, okay, and it's a title of nobility because they have powers, even policing powers.
Mm-hmm.
You had in the earliest days, you had people, they came out and they performed a service. But if they carried a gun, they carried a gun because everybody had the right to carry a gun.
Right.
They didn't carry a gun because they were a representative of the state. They mm-hmm. carried because they represented themselves doing a job. It's like no different than a truck driver who's hauling some expensive equipment or something. You right. know, you're protecting the public, which is expensive. You know, that's you have value out there. Mm-hmm. So it makes common sense but now we have standing armies, and we're going to be getting into that next week too, the whole constitutional history of standing armies and exactly mm-hmm. what the founders said about it. I'm going to have a special guest coming on next week. I'm not going to tell anybody who it is yet. I have a special guest coming on next week that is going to be sharing with us some of the very, very deep history regarding this and how we have been so led astray by the acts of Congress and the federal and state courts, really, but mostly the federal courts in their jurisdiction over commerce, over the gun, over arms, over mm-hmm. firearms, and all of that. We're going to be digging into that.
Mine's not either. It's a self-defense tool. And on that note, we'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors.
Yes. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio Broadcast.
Little pink houses for you and me. homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Resurrect the Republic.
With no agenda, I'm a single voice in the wilderness, drowned out by the noise created by giants in the land. There's a reason I'm standing in the midst of the madness. It matters less if I'm heard and more that I say what must be said. It may not be now, but someday you'll understand that the gift of power is the kindness in your hands. I'm not falling before you, begging for mercy.
And welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media.
Reloaded!
And that's Tom.
Reloaded!
We are reloaded for sure. I have some other news to share with you all.
Oh, yes, please.
I sure do. How many of you remember Sheriff Scott? Let me
Kids for
refresh
cash.
Your memory. The Marjorie's Stoneman Douglas High School shooting. He is the sheriff of Broward County. Yes, the same sheriff who was over all of the failures, the police officers standing down, excuse me, the sheriffs standing down.
Everybody knew him as the coward of the county.
Yeah, well, there's a lot more coming out for everyone. And so I wanted to share with you quite a bit of information that I have found out now. Some of you may or may not know who Laura Loomer is, but she does great investigative work. She really does. And she...
I love her. I do.
She is an amazing reporter. She goes live on scene. She digs, and she is not scared to dig. And on July the 3rd, she put out an article. It's an exclusive. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel to be removed next week. Now, that's alleged. I'm going to read to you what she has to say. Then I'm going to let you know the response from Scott Israel's attorney, and then we're going to dig into some more things that I found out that many of us, or at least I know I wasn't aware of, that was reported a couple of months ago, Tom. The media have kept it
really?
Yes, really down low. So Laura Loomer says high-level sources within Broward County Sheriff's Office exclusively revealed to Big League Politics that disgraced Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel is set to be removed from his position as the sheriff next week. According to the source, Sheriff Israel is being removed from office for criminal issues, not malfeasance, following an investigation conducted by the Office of Florida Governor Rick Scott. The source exclusively revealed to Big League Politics that the Sheriff Israel is also allegedly being investigated by the IRS. The high-level police source within the sheriff's office disclosed that over the last several months...
We told you so!
Four candidates have been interviewed to refill the position of Broward County Sheriff. One of the candidates who were interviewed is Emory Ganey, a Republican Florida law enforcement official who is closely associated with the Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi. During the IG's testimony last week, FBI Director Christopher Wray was asked about the Parkland school shooting. When asked, Wray declined to answer any questions about the shooting and Sheriff Israel, citing that it was an active FBI investigation. Following the Parkland shooting, Governor Scott called for the director Wray to resign over the FBI's failure to properly investigate Nicholas Cruz, 19, the school shooter who plans to carry out a school shooting, were reported to the FBI twice prior to the shooting on Valentine's Day. Quote, we constantly promote see something, say something. And a courageous person did just that to the FBI, and the FBI failed to act. See something, say something is an incredibly important tool, and people must have confidence
now,
in the follow-through.
You know, the individual that made that comment is a very close friend to a childhood best friend of mine.
Yes.
Benny the Bondsman.
Yeah.
He's on his
YouTube.
Yes, a very close friend of a good friend of mine from New Jersey growing up. One of my best friends, actually. And when you had sent me over information regarding the Kids Lives for Cash scandal, we started digging into the Broward County and the Dade County, the financial records and the Promise Grant Program. The Promise Grant Program was an Obama-era program that basically, and this is a Marxist-based program because it reduces, now it sounds great, now hang on for a second, the school-to-prison pipeline for, get this, not for students, but for marginalized students. That's a Marxist buzzword for only minorities and affirmative action, which of course we know is discrimination in and of itself. Everybody should be seen individually. But anyway, so they implement this program to give money to these sheriff's departments for reducing the crime stats of these kids going to prison. So guess what they did? They reduced the stats.
Oh, and it gets better, Tom.
But they didn't go after the crime. We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, RBN. We're going to redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit down,
don't be a jerk. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Truth Media Reloaded. I am Lori Anderson, and Tom Lacavere Stewart is here with me, and we are discussing the notorious Sheriff Israel and the new information that has come out. Laura Loomer put out a report that the Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel is to be removed next week, and I will continue with what she has to say and then let you know some other information that I found out. Hopefully I have enough time.
One thing real quick, I want to just jump this in real quick. I spoke to Dana Loesch's office from the NRA. I spoke to Kurt Schilling, former Philadelphia Phillies pitcher. I went on his show and I told him all about the Kids Lives for Cash scandal, hashtag Kids Lives for Cash. And I have to give credit to the conservative treehouse, at the Last Refuge on Twitter, for also contributing a huge piece that had it had testimony from officers that confirmed these artificial lowering of crime stats, and this is why Nicholas Cruz had so many contacts with law enforcement, and it didn't go anywhere. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there, that this was the conservative treehouse was a huge part of that.
Excellent, excellent point. And we're very thankful for any of the news outlets that actually get the truth out there. We really appreciate them, and we love getting their names out there as well. So Laura Loomer said, according to a source in the Broward County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Israel's removal revolves around criminal matter that the FBI is aware of. Although his failure surrounding Parkland shooting initially sparked the investigation, it isn't the sole reason why he's being removed. A high-level source who wished to remain anonymous told Big League Politics that Sheriff Israel's already aware of the fact he's being removed from office next week. Sheriff Israel's been under heavy criticism for his handling of the Parkland school shooting, which left 17 people dead following the Valentine's Day school massacre at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, and it was revealed that police officers under Sheriff Israel's order were called to the home of the Parkland shooter 45 times prior to the school shooting. It's unclear why law enforcement at the Broward County Sheriff's Office and FBI failed to properly investigate Cruz, but their massive failure has been directly attributed to the loss of 17 lives in Parkland, Florida. Since the Parkland shooting, a lot of unflattering information's come out regarding Sheriff Israel. Along with being the mouthpiece for the Democratic politicians and gun control advocates like Hillary Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who he has been photographed with, Sheriff Israel and his department have recently made headlines for more controversy. In May, it was revealed that Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and the Broward County Sheriff's Office were keeping quiet the fact that Sheriff Israel's son, Brett, had allegedly assaulted a 14-year-old student on campus in an act of bullying.
Ruh-roh!
And I'm going to go in more detail about that in just a moment. Shortly after the Parkland shooting, cell phone video filmed by Cruz himself revealed that he himself felt bullied, which led him to carry out the massacre on February 14, 2018, in a targeted attack against his former classmates. Most recently, Sheriff Israel received a massive amount of backlash after Broward County Sheriff's Office tweeted a picture of a new custom-made Broward Sheriff's car that read, quote, "Our new Dodge Charger, do you like the paint job?" unquote. The tweet sparked outrage online from Republicans and Democrats alike, who quipped about the Broward County Sheriff's Office should use the funds to pay for better officer training, not new cars. Oh, remember the officer who fell asleep after the shooting outside? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they should get people some better help there.
Smoke another one, buddy!
Right. Leaders on both sides of the aisle have called for Sheriff Israel to resign or be removed by the governor for his extreme dereliction of duty and failure to prevent one of the worst school shootings in U.S. history. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there on her report because it's very long. The Broward County, Florida Sheriff Scott Israel has refused to publicly discuss the Florida Department of Law Enforcement investigation into him and his agency regarding BSO's multiple failures in responding to the Parkland shooting, but he had his personal attorney go on radio Thursday morning to deny an internet report. Attorney Stuart Kaplan went on WFTL 850 morning show to address an unconfirmed report by, quote, this is in ABC News, everyone, so right-wing blogger Laura Loomer, who claimed that Governor Rick Scott would remove Israel from office when the FDLE report is released. She further claimed this would happen next week, and it would not happen, not because of BSO's failures at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, but due to unknown criminal matters. Quote, "What you have reported is completely false," unquote, Kaplan told Loomer, who was also a guest on the show. Now, you've got to love this woman. Listen to what happens. When asked by the host if the sheriff is under criminal investigation beyond the state's Parkland probe, Kaplan said, "To my knowledge, absolutely not," unquote. He also denied having any knowledge that Israel was being removed from office by the governor. Kaplan also intimated that the sheriff was considering a defamation lawsuit against Loomer, who stood by her reporting. Local 10 News could not substantiate Loomer's report, which appeared to be based on an unnamed source at BSO. Loomer countered Kaplan by pointing out that Kaplan, in addition to representing the sheriff, also represents the gun shop that sold Parkland shooter Nicholas Cruz the AR-15 he used in February 14th mass shooting, indicating it was a conflict of interest.
Ruh-roh!
After the show aired, Hunter Pollock, a brother of a Parkland victim, Meadow Pollock, tweeted about the attorney's dual roles, writing this of the situation, quote, "The Broward sheriff who begs for gun control is being represented by the lawyer who represents the gun store owner that sold Cruz his gun. So much corruption, conflict of interest. Fix it." The sheriff himself the sheriff himself said he's waiting for the release of the FDLE report before commenting on the investigation, but hasn't stopped Israel from becoming a political lightning rod across the state. Right now, one of the key questions...
Yeah, like a thousand points of light.
Right. What role politics will play in the decision of Scott, who is running for U.S. Senate, on whether or not to suspend Israel from office. Okay, so I'm going to leave that there on that one, because I want to go into a little bit of detail about what happened with this possible cover-up. So what we didn't hear, or I know I didn't even hear it, May 25th, 2018, on WPLG, that is a radio, WIRK 103.1, parents demanded investigation into possible criminal cover-up regarding BSO Sheriff's son. It says, mid-February of 2014, two 17-year-old Marjorie Stoneman Douglas students assaulted a 14-year-old baseball player near a high school stadium. They kicked the boy, a police report said, held him to the ground, and simulated a sexual assault through the teen's clothing with a baseball bat. One of the assailants was Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel's son, Brett Israel, according to the incident.
You can't make this stuff up.
Report. So when we dig a little bit further, Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel was facing a no-confidence vote. This was reported by CBS News Miami, CBSMiami.com, and it says...
They were lying, too.
It says, the Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel is facing a no-confidence vote from the union representing his own deputies. According to a statement from Jeff Bell, the president of Broward County Sheriff's Office Deputies Association, quote, "Today, Friday, April 20th, 2018, Broward Sheriff's Office Deputies Association announced it has scheduled a no-confidence vote on Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. Union President and Broward Sheriff..."
There might be a few good men after all, huh?
Right. Union President and Broward Sheriff Deputy Bell said the move follows... Hold on one tiny second. I'm getting freezing, of course. You know how that
okay.
is.
It's okay. No, I'm actually glad you have a little bit of a pause there, because that gives me a little bit of hope, what you just said, for a various number of reasons, not only the Obama-era Promise Grant Program, and hopefully this is something that I would like to hear. I've sent this information off, like I said, to the NRA, Dana Loesch's office, the mm-hmm. Office of the Legal Counsel of the NRA. I've sent this off to President Trump's administration. I've mm-hmm. sent this off to a couple congressmen that I have spoken to. So I'm hoping that this Promise Grant Program and its corruption will see its end. And I know that there were a lot of sheriffs, I know just by their own testimony in depositions, that complained about what was going on there with the mismanagement of funding and all of that. I can only imagine. This is, if he doesn't end up being charged with a RICO statute, I'll be amazed. I mean, I know that a lot of these people get left off the hook, but you know what? There's too many people that know about this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, after the parents demanded the investigation into that situation, that was May 25th. You know, and then, of course, the no confidence vote, that was reported April 20th, 2018. That's from his own deputies. But it's not just because of the failure for the school shooting. OK, it says he was suspected of malfeasance, misfeasance, failure to maintain fiduciary responsibility by the sheriff, failure to properly investigate possible criminal misconduct by members of his senior command staff, and lack of leadership that has crushed morale throughout the agency. So I want you to be able to hear this clip so that you can hear what Channel 4 reported on that. If you would, Mike, please play LB2.
Resurrect the Republic, LV2.
Okay, so while he's getting that pulled up.
Well, technical difficulties, isn't that wonderful?
Oh, we've been having them ever since we tried to sign
in. Little buggies.
So the Broward County Sheriff's Department has a long history of abuse of power under color of law. It really does. Now, remember, everyone, this is the same sheriff that called for the power to detain
people
over the social media. Remember that?
I love how you say sheriff. It's so adorable. That's my
Thank
sister.
You.
Isn't it great?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But it also came out a while back that Sheriff Israel also had ties to Wayne David Collins, who was infamous for links to corruption in Rhode Island. He also is the same sheriff who called for the power to detain people over their social media accounts, if you remember that. Now, there is a very interesting bit of information that came off the FBI's website. By the way, everyone, links are included underneath the show so that you can be able to access and read all of them. We don't have enough time to actually cover every one of them. However, the FBI also covered that they were being charged under 18 U.S. Code 241. I mean, excuse me, it was either 241 or 242, probably 242, as my computer is freezing up, so I don't have it available right this second in front of me. However, and it was for falsifying police reports, it was for abuse, it was for abuse under color of law, and...
Are you still freezing?
Oh, yes.
Because I'm in the Arizona desert. I could share some of this heat with you. I'd be more than happy to.
Sure.
All right. I think Mike might have LV2. Now, you want to introduce this clip again real quick?
Yes. LV2 is the main news channel that was covering the union. It was covering the Broward Sheriff Scott Israel to face no confidence vote from the union representing his own deputies.
Okay. Resurrect the Republic, LV2. Go ahead, roll it.
Now at 6, Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel reacting tonight after he learned that he's facing a no-confidence vote. The story and the fallout is developing right now. The Broward Sheriff's Office Deputies Association announced the vote will get underway tonight. Its president is talking about the vote, and BSO has fired back with a statement of its own. CBS 4's Amber Diaz is live for us in Plantation with the details. Amber.
Good afternoon to you, Elliot. As we speak right now, those electronic ballots are being sent out to all members of BSO. And while this vote is more symbolic than anything else, Union President Jeff Bell says the governor will have grounds to remove Sheriff Scott Israel once he sees how taxpayers' dollars were misappropriated. The Broward Sheriff's Office Deputies Association wants Sheriff Scott Israel out. Today, they issued a no-confidence vote to all members of the union, citing a collection of, quote, suspected malfeasance, misfeasance, failure to maintain fiduciary responsibility, and failing to properly investigate possible criminal conduct by members of his staff. Sheriff Scott Israel answered back with this statement, saying the union president is using the Marjory Stoneman Douglas tragedy as a bargaining tactic to get a pay raise. employees. He writes, "It is unfortunate and appalling that the IUPA union boss, in the midst of ongoing labor contract salary negotiations, is trying to use the Parkland tragedy as a bargaining tactic to extort a 6.5% pay raise from BSO through this vote of no confidence plot." But union president Jeff Bell says the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting was the catalyst in his lengthy investigation into the sheriff. In one case, public information requests show a misuse of taxpayers' dollars, where Napa Auto Parts workers use gas at BSO's private gas pump since at least 2015, with gas cards issued by the Broward County Sheriff's Office.
1 year time period alone, that they took almost 6,000 gallons of gas from our gas pumps with gas cards that were issued by the Broward County Sheriff's Office. We cannot do that. We are not licensed to sell, barter, or trade gasoline to any private company.
Back out here live, Elliot, those ballots were told will be open to all members of BSO until next Thursday. Reporting live from Plantation, Amber Diaz, CBS 4 News.
And that is just scratching the surface of that financial road. I don't want anyone out there to think, oh, this is all just about gas. No, no. Mm-hmm. That's just scratching the surface of the malfeasance that's involved in that situation.
Right. And now going back a little bit to the situation with his son, okay? This was
the delinquent. Go ahead.
Right. In 2014, you know, I promise you will not get arrested. You know,
promise program.
Okay. So it was also reported when the attack was reported to authorities, Brett Israel and the other 17-year-old Anthony Broderick were not arrested. They were suspended from the Parkland High School for 3 days based on the school's conclusion that they had committed a simple battery and that the suspension was consistent with the Broward County
School. Yeah, that's a simple battery. Jamming a baseball bat up somebody's keister is,
Right.
All right.
The victim's parents did approve the sanction, saying the suspension was appropriate punishment and that any law enforcement action would have put their son through unnecessary trauma. So let's read between the lines on this.
Yeah, how much was that?
They agreed with it because they didn't want their child to be further traumatized, a 14-year-old, and both of these were 17-year-olds. Now, it continues on with the report. It says, but then Nicholas Cruz took an assault rifle to the school February 14th of this year and killed 17 students and educators, wounding 17 others.
When that kind of bullying is going on, it's amazing. You know, and here's the thing.
Now, let's remember that girl, too. She made an excuse of bullying Cruz.
Yes, but, you know, what I'm saying about, and I'm making no judgment on this young man that was attacked, but his parents, right? Mm-hmm. First of all, if you raise your children to be snowflakes, then they're always a victim and they're always to be shielded. All I can say is what I would do if I was the father in this situation. I would go after this to end this from ever. I would make an example out of this kid if I was that father. There was nothing that could appease me. I don't maybe liberalism is a mental disease. I don't know if they're liberals or not, but I cannot understand the trauma. What are you talking about? Trauma? This dude was nailed by criminals that are going to go out there and end up killing somebody someday if they're not held to account. Anyway, I've said enough. Go ahead.
Right. So the FBI.gov, gotta love this, two Broward County Sheriff's Office, this was reported April 25th, 2014, two Broward County Sheriff's Office deputies were charged with conspiracy in connection with Rothstein investigation.
Roth what?
Rothstein.
What was that? Roth what?
Rothstein.
Sorry.
You got it. In a criminal investigation filed earlier today, Benjamin was charged with conspiracy to commit extortion and to violate civil rights in violation of Title 18, United States Code, Section 371. In separate criminal information also filed today, Poole was charged with conspiracy to violate civil rights in violation of Title 18, United States Code, Section 241. Charges allege that during the relevant time period, both defendants were employed by the Broward County Sheriff's Office. Benjamin was a lieutenant and served as an executive officer to then Sheriff Al Lombardi. Poole was a detective assigned to the Strategic Investigations Division. charging documents alleged that both defendants agreed to utilize their respective positions within BSO unlawfully to further the interests of RRA, its chairman and CEO Scott Rothstein, and other persons associated with Rothstein. Specifically, the charging documents allege that Benjamin received...
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to make you laugh.
Okay, because this goes to the money thing. Received approximately $185,000 in money and other things from value from Rothstein and RRA in return for providing his assistance when needed, including arranging with Pohl to arrest the ex-wife of an attorney who was engaged in a child custody dispute with her, arranging to use force and threats of force against the boyfriend of an escort who was threatening to expose the illicit relationship that existed between the escort and one of the partners at RRA, the assisting Rothstein in loading cash and jewelry into a private airplane that was used by Rothstein to flee to Morocco on October 27, 2009, as the Ponzi scheme being conducted through RRA was beginning to unravel. Right. So I'm not going to go any further into that specific one because we have more.
I'm so going down that rabbit hole tomorrow, though. Go ahead.
So with that, I noticed there was a court case. And that was Kevin Buckler and Veronica Ecknum. I hope I've said her name correctly. And the plaintiffs, they were the plaintiffs. And in his official capacity as sheriff of Broward County, Scott J. Israel was named as one of the defendants. And I'm just going to go down to some of these complaints so that you can hear what kind of complaints
we told you so.
Were put out here. The defendant, Scott J. Israel, is the sheriff of Broward County, said defendant is responsible as sheriff for the conduct of the deputies and this employee and ensuring that his deputies, employees, servants, and agents obey the laws of the state of Florida and the United States. Defendant Israel is being sued in his official capacity. Defendants Gerald Wingert, Curtis Roberts, Jeff Brown, Nicholas Giovanni, Pappens Lemessere, and Steve Santiago are residents of Broward County. I'm not going to go into any further of location
right.
Broward County Sheriff's Office acting under color of law to wit, under color of the statutes, ordinances, and regulations and policies, customs and usages of the state of Florida and or Broward County, said defendants are being sued in their individual and the official capacities.
Ooh, the official capacities.
And we'll get right back.
We're running out of time.
We'll have to get back to the Broward County Sheriff in the next time that I come on because this one, you're not going to want to miss. Thank you so much for having me tonight, Tom.
I love you all the time, all the time. Lori Anderson, Tom Lancavera, Stewart, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com. Send some love. Hit the PayPal. If it's for Lori, type for Lori in the memo. Thank you very much for your support. God bless you, and we'll catch you next time.
And as always, everyone, watch your backs, check your facts, Semper Fidelis, and have a wonderful night.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.